Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers for this July 3rd, 2023, 3:06 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. We want to send a big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out, sponsoring the segment. And hang on a second, I've got to dye this out so that I can go ahead and play this. Longtime listeners know that is the music for Meet Your Raptors, and we are happy to kick off Playmakers with that. We have in the studio with us Raptors broadcaster Joey Ferreira. Good morning, Joey. Good afternoon, Joey. Good to see you.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good to see you, too.
And we also have with us Jacob Rosenkrantz, Raptors starting pitcher. Jacob, good morning. Good afternoon. Man, I did it twice in a row.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
I had to be consistent. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate the time. We're going to get you in and out because we got a game tonight. Of course, just a reminder to everybody out there, Raptors playing tonight at home, 5:50 pregame. Our game will kick off. You can hear Joey and the gang and the boys this summer all season long right here at WFHR. How are we doing? How's everything going? I mean, it's a little bit easier to ask you that when we got a four-game win streak going on. Joey, how are things been from the booth?
Yeah, I mean, they've been great. Like, it's been great to see the team really starting to kind of come into its own, winning four games in a row right now. And it's been a good first half. It's been some ups and downs, but right now it's we're on a high right now, so it's been good.
Right on. Yes, fresh off the mound, Jacob, from last night. How did you feel about last night?
Oh, it was good. I mean, the guys, we had a shutout win last night against Fond du Lac. The guys kind of string some hits together, and pitchers really did their thing out there. Props to Ryan Kaiser and Blake going out there and throwing strikes and just doing their thing. It really pushed us forward in getting that win.
I wanted to apologize to you guys that it might be a little hot in the studio, but it's your own dang fault because the Raptors are so dang hot right now. It's understandable. That wasn't a great joke. That was not good. You should not. I mean, you have every right not to laugh at that. In all seriousness, it's fun, especially the last couple of times we've gotten together, Joey. We've been building to this. We've been hoping for this. We kind of thought this was heck coming. The Raptors' bats started to heat up. Runs weren't coming. Errors were a little bit there. Those went down. Runs went up. Hits stayed the same. Have you noticed this? Because it seems like win or lose, our team seems to out-hit the other team. It's just been that way even longer than this win streak.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have like a lot of guys like coming in and ready to, you know, get hits, and that's been a big thing for us. But I think, like, I mean, other than the hitting, I think our pitching has been unbelievable. I mean, our last two games, we both shut out the Mallards and the Dock Spiders last night. Our pitching has been great, and also our infield, a lot of double plays, a lot of guys making heads-up plays. So I think as great as we've been offensively, I think defensively we've been really good too.
Jacob, I want to ask you a little bit about yourself. Tell us where you're from.
I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. I lived there for 14 years, and then I just recently moved up to Chicago. In the Riverwoods area,
right on.
And I've lived there ever since. I attended 4 years at Valparaiso University. I just graduated this past year, and I'm going next year to Missouri Baptist to play my final year of baseball.
Yeah, yeah. First off, congratulations on the graduation, man.
Thank
well
you.
To go. Great university too. Nice, nice. That means something. That means something, man. And I hope you're enjoying my roots in my hometown of Chicago, and that's going well
yes,
for
sir.
You. I'm enjoying it. What is it like in that pitcher's room right now? With these guys, I know you just got here, and you haven't been with the Raptors before, but you're walking into a pitcher's room that is loaded right now, and that there's a good vibe going on. How do you go into that wanting to keep that flow going and not wanting to interrupt with it?
You know, the big thing is I think we've done a great job as a staff of creating this a friendly brotherhood, and even if there's new guys coming in, you know, we're welcoming them right away, making them feel like they're at home. And I think that's a big thing for us right now. And really the other thing is we take pride in what we do. And I mean, we take care of the mound before and after every single game, and because that's what we do. I mean, that's our art basically. So taking care of that mound is going to make the next guy pitch better because we're all taking care of it.
Why baseball? And I ask because for a lot of us growing up in high school, our starting pitchers were our best athletes. They were the starting point guard as well, or a center, or, you know, they played on the football team. There was a lot of this. I'm always curious of what brings a person to a certain angle, a certain sport.
You know, it's really hard to be a part of a game where you fail more than you actually succeed. I mean, you see with Hall of Fame hitters, I mean, you're failing 7 out of 10 times. I mean, if you're a 300 batting average person, you're going to go to the Hall of Fame. So just getting that little taste of success was just something that I couldn't resist, and I just wanted to keep going and keep going. Even when things aren't going your way, you can do things in order to help you succeed and get yourself back on track.
I mentioned earlier that tonight, Rafters win. We are got a playoff berth guaranteed. This would be the second year in a row for the Rafters. Last year was a bit of a runaway season, and nominally. You know, you just don't see that in baseball, and not, whether it's Northwoods Leagues or AAA or MLB or whatever. This season, we've earned this. Not to say that they didn't last year, but it just felt like it almost felt too easy almost last year, and we saw in the playoffs that what can happen. This team seems so hungry and just driven, so determined. Is there a, I don't even feel like a pressure is the right word, but is there a vibe in the stadium right now, the idea of being able to block this down, have that taken care of to be able to get this win tonight? Joey, I'll start with you.
I mean, yeah, I think definitely, like, I mean, as I said, like, going, we've had a lot of ups and downs with the season where we started like 2-5, and, you know, there's, you know, a lot of people, and there's like a downward vibe, like, especially in the stands. But I think now, you know, especially since the team has the opportunity to clinch the playoffs tonight, I think it's just been a lot better vibe without in the stadium, and I think with the players as well. I know Jacob could probably speak on that, but I mean, that's definitely what I noticed.
Yeah,
I mean, we definitely didn't have the first half season that the Rafters did last year, but I mean, it goes back to the brotherhood point that I brought up earlier. You know, everyone's just been welcoming everyone in, and today is a very important game to everyone, part of the Raptors organization. You know, the coaches are wanting this really bad, and players are wanting it just as bad, too, because this is a very pivotal point in the season right here, because if we can take this, the first half and the second half, that would be huge for us to go into playoffs, knowing that we're a very good team.
When you're not able to be on that mound, how do you try to keep your team focused, energized, and feeling good no matter what the scoreboard says, Jay?
Just staying in the dugout, cheering guys on, picking guys' heads up when their heads are down. That's a pretty big part. I mean, you fail more in this game than any other sport, so you got to be there to back your teammates up.
Feel a win tonight. We've got a good vibe going. We've got a good streak going here. And certainly, and I'm not even just talking about the four-game streak. When we have players join us, we usually get a win that night. So just it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. I want to tell you guys, have a great time tonight. Enjoy yourselves. And do you feel like giving away some Rafter tickets? You guys feel like giving away some Rafter tickets?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. Let's do it. We're going to go ahead and do that. We'll let you guys go and get back to the ballpark, and we'll meet you there at Winter Field tonight. All right? Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having us.
Call up 424-2600. Tell me your favorite baseball player of the 90s or 2000s. That's fine. Either one. Give me either one of those, and you'll win yourself four tickets to tonight, to any Rafter game. Actually, they're open tickets, so you can go ahead and call up 424-2600, get that ball player from you, and we'll be back with more on Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, everyone, here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Big thank you to our friends at Quality Post Printing, getting your words out, sponsoring this show. You got your host, James, here. I am joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Seth Habager.
Good afternoon. Oh, almost said morning.
Yeah, I did it twice, back to back earlier.
Oh, so messed up.
Joining us this afternoon is the heart of WFHR, and for a first time on Playmakers, Pam Hilke.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hey, Pam. Thanks for being here.
Yes, it's my pleasure.
So I asked Pam to join us today because Seth and I were going to touch on to kick things off. And a big thank you to the Rafters for joining us, by the way. That was great to talk with those guys.
Yeah.
We wanted to talk a little U.S. Open, senior U.S. Open to be exact. For those that did not catch it, a big weekend here in central Wisconsin with that event going on. Bernard Langer won the 2023 U.S. Senior Open at Century World yesterday and did this at the oldest age of anybody yet. It was a record. Nobody had seen that before.
That's cool.
It's pretty cool. Two other high-profile Wisconsinites finished just a stone's throw away. Steve Stricker was so close, finishing at a negative five in second place, and Jerry Kelly finished at third. I imagine has to feel great for them in not only finishing in those spots, because from what I hear from golfers, even when you don't win, finishing that high up is still...
Oh, it's still good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let alone doing that in your home state. That was pretty cool.
That's cool.
But Pam, leading up to this, you brought over a folder of a bunch of stuff that Carl had from when this when Century World first opened.
Yes, I did. I found in my possession amongst some items I believe this is the press package that was given to the media at the press conference before Century World opened up in August of 1982. There's a lot of information in here. Foremost is an official press release talking about this, and this was dated August 16th, 1982, talking about the golf course, a lot of specific information about it.
Was there anything that stood out to you in there, Pam?
Well, it said that, I can just read a little bit from it.
Yeah.
This 6,900-yard, 200-acre golf course owned by Century Insurance joins California's Pebble Beach and Florida's TPC course as one of the few national golf treasures available daily for public play. Built to major U.S. tournament standards and designed by one of the nation's foremost golf architects, Robert Trent Jones II, Century World will open to the public on Monday, August 30th. Jones has described Century World as very possibly my Mona Lisa, among the premier courses with which he has been associated. Century World is really for self-contained golf courses. Top golfers may challenge the Blue Tee course of 6,900 yards. Less talented players may choose from the three other tees. Let's see.
Like back in the 80s, they're just less talented.
Yeah, right.
For a less challenging course is what they'd say today, right?
Yeah, something like that,
Nothing characterizes Century World more than its 5 acres of flower beds. Tees and greens throughout the course are outlined with a variety of plants and lists a number of, plants that have been involved, put into the place. The flower hole alone sets Century World apart. Another distinguishing feature is the 35 acres of spring-fed lakes within its borders.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The large stones were deposited by the glaciers and unearthed when the lakes were dug up. They frame many of the postcard views of the lakes, fairways, and woods and greens. White birch and green pine trees dominate, which, of course, we saw over the weekend.
That's right.
If you were watching on television. Rarely are 18 holes so challenging and yet so elegant. This was quoted by Bob Reith, the Century World golf pro at the time in 1982.
Wow.
This is part of the new Century Sports Complex, which is located east of the insurance company's world headquarters there. The sports complex at the time houses 6 indoor tennis courts, 5 racquetball courts, a restaurant, lounge, locker rooms, and a pro shop. 6 outdoor lighted tennis courts are also available.
Wow.
It's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm. It is. I've been there.
Yeah.
A few times for, dining at the at the golf pro shop. Personally have never golfed there. So I hope that Carl got a chance to golf there. So
I know he would talk about it.
Right.
I know he would talk about this, covering the event, the opening of it.
Right. I can imagine that, this was a high-end event to go cover.
Oh, yeah.
We think about what it means now, and let alone back then in 82. That's impressive.
Here's a little bit of monetary information.
Hmm.
The Century officials report that the entire sports complex cost in the neighborhood of $10 million. That was written in 1982.
Jeez. How much would that be? That's like over $100 million
now, I think. Might cost that now.
Okay, here we go. Public green fees.
Oh, this is good.
Are $25 per player.
Oh, my God. We can afford that, Seth.
I was going to say, but back in 1982, that was a decent, that's a decent green fee.
An amount competitive with other distinguished golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
And it quotes that a round at Pebble Beach costs $70 and the TPC Florida costs $26.
Well, wow. There you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
We have this running gag about on different shows of how we would waste a time machine, Pam. Mm-hmm. Seth and I, you know, on sports shows, it's to go back and see, you know, big sports moments or something. Right. And, you know, in other shows, it's entertainment things. I'm starting to think I want to go back in time just for these, like, prices. Just to use the prices of back then and this everything. That's,
wait a minute. What is your money? Say 2005 on it. Counterfeit money here?
Actually, in this little brochure here that I have, for Century employees at the time with a Century World membership, they could golf at $5.
Oh, wow.
$5 to play that course.
I bet you some people got a job there just so they could golf for $5, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. So right about that.
I know golf heads are.
Yeah, it's just kind of interesting looking at that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I also found a fact sheet about the course talking about what all grasses were developed, what all roughs were put into the roughs at the time.
It's really interesting.
A list of some of the contractors, like, the seed company, Northrop King of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
The sod was H&E Sod Nursery of Markham, Illinois. cart paths designed by Jay Canal and Bill Roberts, and construction by Port Edwards Concrete of Wisconsin Rapids.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
Let's see, Badger Irrigation and Supply from Milwaukee, the irrigation system. The Pump House, E.B. Sommers of Stevens Point. Fencing by American Fence Company of Stevens Point.
A lot of local places getting in on that. That's a big project, too.
Some local states getting a chance to...
Midwest, very Midwest,
Right. So, I mean, obviously that's good to see.
That's really cool.
A lot of contractors.
Mm-hmm.
But they talk about this event, and certainly it's going to help the city of Point, a lot of central Wisconsin, but this impacts the whole state, these events.
Yeah,
that's how big this is.
That's very, very cool.
I had black and white photos.
Yeah, those were great.
The famous flower hole.
The flower hole, yeah.
I did a little research, and the flower hole was number 7 at the time of this. I see I think it's 16.
16 now.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah. So later, apparently the course has been somewhat changed.
Changed around,
whatever.
Which is normal with golf courses.
Right. Yeah. At the time, they had over 65,000 individual flowers making up the flower hole.
That's crazy. Wow.
Well, that would have been a good contract for a
sweet deal.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
anything that really stood out, or anything you that really you wanted to make sure to mention on this?
I did find some notes in Carl's writing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes along with what he was recording at the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell by numbers that would go along with recordings, and you put it in your tape deck.
Yeah.
And it would be, and he would write his sound bites
on the clicker. Yeah, that's right.
Some of the comments and items that he wrote about. So
it's so cool. It's really nice for us to reminisce, to be able to see his handwriting again, to talk about him and think of him.
Right.
Especially, I know how much he would have loved yesterday, and how if he could have been there, he would have been. in many ways, he had the best seat in the house. So I mean, I'm sure he was watching. It also is. I appreciate that you had this. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Yeah, it's amazing that I, do have it. That's neat, and be able to put my hands on one thing in a house,
Exactly.
It's a really nice piece, a nice walk down memory lane.
Yes. There was also information from Robert Trent Jones, the designer
himself.
Right?
Yeah.
His page and and the first golf pro there. Like I said, Bob Reith Bob Reith. I'm not sure. I did do a little Google check, and he passed away in 2020.
Interesting.
It seemed like he was from a family of, at this time that this was printed in 1882, his family had 5 generations of golf professionals going way back to England and Scotland.
Cool.
So, old school. They had hired somebody who was really...
really knew his stuff, yeah.
Really in it.
Really versed in
it. And it shows.
Thing, yeah.
The PGA choosing, you know, to have it here. And not mm-hmm. not the last time either. Mm-hmm. I mean, no. With the success of the event and everything, you know it's going to be back and in your future years. What I hear a lot of golf fans, I was talking to my buddy earlier about this, and my brother was saying something about it over the weekend too. We love this event. Love having the seniors here. It's been a lot of fun. Want to see the PGA. They want to see the U.S.
yeah.
Open, straight up U.S. Open there and everything, and that's the next step. They show how you can handle these events like this. Mm-hmm. It's similar to in Green Bay, them hosting the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. It's very cool for the state to have something like that, but there's also a audition going on. Just mm-hmm. like with this, the Senior Open does well. Hey, maybe we do bring in the U.S. Open over here.
Yeah.
The NFL Draft does well in Green Bay. Maybe mm-hmm. the Super Bowl over here. They're two different worlds, and it's a bit of a leap to go to one to the other, but you can't get to one without the other.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so this is the steps that you take as a state, and when we have so many people, especially with appointed positions, talking about bringing in people to the state, I'm more concerned about taking care of the people that are already here. And the people that are already here really need events like this. It's good for everybody.
I agree. Mm-hmm. 100%.
That was a lot of fun, Pam. Thank you so much for doing that.
That's okay.
That was really fun.
One
Thank you.
One other little piece of information that kind of ties mm-hmm. to Century. We've seen the big Century Insurance building, mm-hmm. Big one and on the complex there. And actually, my father was a carpenter. That was his occupation, and he was on the construction crew for building Century Insurance. I remember
how about that
when I was probably back in high school.
That's awesome.
So, yeah,
that's awesome.
Right, that's right. Awesome.
It's so, nothing like having a builder him. For a dad.
Yeah, right. Being on that construction crew, so mm-hmm. I can go past that building and remember dad helped.
That's I never awesome. Thought about that. Uh-huh. It's something you and I have in common. We both have builders for dads, uh-huh, Pam. I didn't think of that.
Right.
That's great.
Thank you so much for joining
you're
us,
welcome.
Pam. Appreciate
you. My pleasure.
We'll take a quick commercial break. Seth and I will be back with more Playmakers and taking your phone calls and talking some baseball right here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Time for Melissa's News. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody, here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here at 3:33 on the clock, ready to take your phone calls, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Call up if you can still win some Rafter tickets, by the way.
Oh.
Call up and tell Seth and I your favorite 90s baseball player. You'll win yourself some Rafter tickets right there.
90s baseball player.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have to think about that one.
That's
man.
A tough one. That's a tough one. Yeah. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them to choose from. A lot of good ones. And we love I love the more obscure names. The more obscure, like it doesn't actually have to be your favorite player. Just give me an obscure 90, Joey Cora. Oh,
here, I'll give Brewers fans one. John Jaha.
Oh, good one. Oh.
How's that an old school there?
I was going to go, I was going to go John Olerud, but that's yours is much more. that's so rare. That's a good one.
That's good. Had a couple good years.
As long as we're talking baseball, Seth, the All-Star announcements were made yesterday. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of surprises there, and I don't even think too many snubs. But I would like to, because every year there is going to be some player snubbed.
There's usually, yeah.
And so we're going to put a little of our focus there, but I want to hear from everybody out there who you think should have been in there, who you think mm-hmm. should have been, who shouldn't have been snubbed. And I have a side mission as well,
a
side question for the audience also. Because something came up over the weekend that I was a little surprised by. And not that I didn't already know, but I had thought that that everybody knew. And it became kind of like big, like there was a big storm about it on Twitter and some other social media about Wisconsin not having a baseball team. The University of Wisconsin not having a baseball team, haven't had a baseball team since 1991. Now, what is not known to a lot of people out there is that Wisconsin does have a baseball team. They are not sanctioned by the city. By the school.
Right.
And they are more of a Division I-II sort of team and everything. They did that. They got rid of the baseball team back in 91 because of budget concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But there has been a recent, in the last couple of years, there's been some recent, I don't want to say outcry, but some more like, hey, why don't we have a team?
Some momentum maybe, yeah.
Hey, that university is making quite a bit of money. I mean, the money we just paid Coach Fickell, it seems like we should be able to swing a baseball team, intended there. So I think a lot of people are curious about that too. How do you feel about that, Wisconsinites? Would you like to see that? Have you even noticed? I'm not trying to be mean. I mean, genuinely.
You told me this before, and I was like, when I lived in Wisconsin for many years before I realized that the Badgers did not have a team anymore. Because I just thought it was a given. Okay, Big Ten team? Who doesn't have a baseball team, right? You know? But no, they, like you said, they haven't had one for several decades now.
I remember being in high school when this happened, and I honestly have not thought much about it since. And there was a part of me, I think, in the back of my brain that thought Wisconsin had a team. They just weren't that good, and we didn't hear about them when the playoffs came around. Because being honest, I'm not going to lie to the audience, I don't pay attention to college baseball much until the playoffs.
Exactly.
In the playoffs, I pay a little more attention to everything, and certainly when there's an anomaly. But I probably paid more attention to women's softball, and Jenny Finch and players like that, than I have men's college baseball. It's just a different college game than it is college football, basketball, et cetera. In those sports, we see these guys go from the college field to the NFL field to the NBA court, that kind of thing. In baseball, we just saw the College World Series, really exciting, bunch of big hair and a lot of fun, and we'll see in a couple of years, man.
Yeah.
if you're
one
lucky.
Or two of the players, we'll see in a couple of years. Exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's just a different game. You really have to be able to appreciate the game, to watch for the game, and watch, for universities, watching. It's more of a, it's as rural as it gets when it comes to baseball.
Yes, it
so
is.
I'm curious what the audience thinks. 424-2600. For now, let's talk All-Star. All-Star snubs. Do you have an All-Star snub that you notice, Seth, right away?
No, not yet. I know because the players still have to choose their guys and the manager still. So for voting, because this is the fan vote just came out. This is what it is. I don't know if I would say there's any snub. I mean, the Mets didn't get anyone.
The Mets
didn't get anyone voted.
That's insane.
Isn't that insane?
Just with their payroll.
The Yankees got one, and he's not going to play.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge is not going to play. He's still hurt. There's no way he's playing in the game. But that's it. I can't remember the last time either of the teams in New York had like one person voted in. The Mets had like five people last year on the All-Star team.
Yeah.
This is weird, man. The Rays have three. Three! And they're probably going to get some more. So
the Rays have three, and arguably one of their biggest stars and future stars is not one of them.
Yeah, Franco was not voted in. Yeah,
We touched on this a little bit in our pregame, and by that I mean before our morning show this morning. You mentioned something I thought was noteworthy about him, that his recent struggles that probably might have played into
it. Yeah, more of his attitude and stuff. And
that's what I meant.
Because he was benched for a couple games because apparently we forget he's only 22 years old.
Yeah.
He was having some issues with some of his teammates and stuff. And so it's like, got to have him grow up a little bit, that kind of thing. And the way fans are these days, we know all this stuff. So I wonder if that didn't play into it. But but look at the Rays that did make. I mean, you got Randy Arozarena, who's turning into a superstar, not only the way he plays, but, he's got that kind of swagger. Yeah. He's got that kind of attitude that a lot of people
World Baseball Classic helped him, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And you got one of the best, Yandy Diaz.
Yes.
One of the best hitters in the game. Though he's not really, really well known, but he's one of the best hitters. And I love the fact that the fans are doing this. So for the American League, the Rangers really made out, which is interesting, because it's like, wow, I didn't realize the Rangers fan base was so passionate.
I was going to say that Texas voting,
that really kind of helps. But then at the same time, you got Corbin Carroll.
Yeah.
Who's got from one of the smallest bases in Arizona, but still the fans saw him. They saw the kind of year he's having and they voted him in.
I think you can make an argument for since you bring up Arizona, Marte. Marte probably should have been on there.
Yeah, Ketel Marte. Yeah.
I think
he's having a wonderful first half. Yeah.
I was a little surprised to see him off of there because he also is kind of one of those, I don't want to say darlings, but one of those kind of players you always see at the All-Star game. That guy that doesn't necessarily get the notoriety until this moment. And then all of a sudden we recognize him and then we know him all season.
And you know, it's interesting because I was thinking about all the fans that voted in and to see what happens with the player voting and the managers voting and everything. The league also makes some choices, but their hands are tied because every team has to have a player. So they have to pick the guy if no one else is picked.
Thank God.
They got to pick one. Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to talk about Luis Roberts. Congratulate him.
That's true.
My goodness.
But there's the philosophy that, you know, it's kind of into two camps in baseball. Either you like to see the stars, you know, the guys that are there every year, your Bryce Harper, you know, the superstars. Maybe they're having a little down year or they're hurt, but you still want to see them there. Or do you want to see the guys that are having good years who may not necessarily be household names, but are, wow, these guys, he really earned it this year. You know, he had a great first half. He should be in the All-Star game. There tends to be those two camps. You know, the people like, well, this is baseball's big stage. They want to see the big stars. You know, let's get the big guys out there. I'm of the second camp. I like to see the guys who, you know, maybe normally wouldn't get in. They had a great first part of the season. I was listening to a podcast, and they made a great point. For some of those guys, it's like a life-altering thing to become an all-star.
Right.
Because once you're an all-star, you're always an all-star. You always get to keep that. Maybe, you know, Mike Trout has been in 10 straight years, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's used to it. But what about that guy that, you know, has played for him, all of a sudden he's had a great first half and he gets to go in. For him, you know, he's got something to tell his grandkids. He's got something. I was an all-star, which is really cool.
I think there's some changes that have happened too with this, where when we were kids, I remember players like Magic Johnson, the year that he had to step away because of being diagnosed with HIV and having that virus, and he was voted an all-star. And it was like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. They're doing it in honorable. But then you see, like, in years later, like, guys getting in there that played two games, you know? And so you see that in a lot in all sports. But it feels like in the NFL, nobody pays attention. Nobody cares. Other than the players and their Pro Bowl. Because it's on their contract and that kind of thing. Nobody cares about the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, they're anymore. Not going to play it. It's
if you do, please
fine,
correct me, 424-2600, and tell me how you watch every second of the Pro Bowl every year. Please call up.
Can we find that one person?
Yeah, that guy. That guy. That'd be hilarious. That person. With that, it's not. It's exactly different with the NBA All-Star game. People love it. People watch it. And it's all of the All-Star games pale in comparison to baseball. Baseball's All-Star game is still, it still matters. It still means something. Not only on paper because you have the home team winning, getting the home field advantage, which I still think was a masterfully done thing by Bud. I know a lot of people push back on that. I think it was a great idea. And I think it's part of the reason why baseball's All-Star game, while others have come and gone and others up and down, baseball's has always been very consistent. Something that changed to me, though, especially no bigger outlier than this year, voters care about you off the field now. They pay attention much more to that now. I think there cannot be a better example than Fernando Tatis Jr., who I would have bet any, I would have gone to Vegas and bet money that he would be an all-star. Not only because of his name and how big he is one of the top five faces of baseball right now. Does anybody argue that?
Nope.
His season has been amazing. He's been playing great.
He's become like one of the, out of nowhere, one of the best outfielders in baseball.
What? You can't, like, as far as on paper, as far as statistically, he's an all-star. And his back, you know, his previous years, that would back that. Any given year, he'd be a shoe-in. Except All the off the field stuff with the kid, and how that has mounted up and piled up and everything, and I think that that has played a big part of his him not being in the All-Star game and not voting in. It's Occam's razor. At the end, you know, you look this doesn't make it. It doesn't. Oh, that isn't the reason. That isn't the reason. What else is the reason? To be fair, he plays outfield and shortstop, two very very contested positions.
Yeah, very loaded positions for sure. Throughout the league.
Made it, but and not to nitpick Seth, but Pete Alonso made it to the All-Star game, so you do have one Met. But they didn't have a lot of infielders. It didn't seem like a lot. Like, just didn't seem like. It seems different to me now. This stood out to me, him not getting in. I don't think I've seen that before, where a guy who is this celebrated on and off the field doesn't get in, even no matter what the suspensions or anything like that. I believe A-Rod made some All-Star games after his suspension. He's not the only one. Plenty of guys did. So, you know, it seems different to me now.
And I don't know if it's because, you know, the players are so much more active with the fans on social media more than they ever were. They're more accessible to the fans. But the flip side of that is that more of their personal life is known now. And I think you're right. I think that is going to play a part. So you're deciding, you know, well, I'm going to vote for, you know, three outfielders. Do I vote for, you know, I got four guys. One of them's Tatis Jr. They're like, do I pick him? Well, maybe this guy, he doesn't have any issues. He wasn't suspended. Maybe I'll vote for him instead. I think it may very well have a big impact on it. You know, I think it might.
And one other, just to wrap this up, one other, I think that a genuine argument can be made and one for one other snub, Christian Yelich. And not because, and for a lot of, one, because I think that it would, there's a couple things baseball loves more than anything, and it's one of the top two, three things is a comeback story. I love that. Now, how good of a story would it be to be able to say All-Star after the things this kid has been through, you know? But also, he's having a good season.
He's having a very good season.
One of my favorite things in sports is seeing the older athlete adjust his game to be able to stay in the league, to be able to stay relevant. We talked about this last week, I think. Elway did this. LeBron James is currently in the middle of doing it.
Yep.
And what Christian Yelich has been able to do, we've never heard him complain.
Not once.
Not one time have you heard anything. And not to say that you deserve a pat on the back for that, but in today's day and age.
He never made an excuse either.
He does everything you can ask him for on that field, even though he's not doing what you paid him to do. You're not getting the contract. You're certainly not getting the results you paid for.
Right.
Nobody's arguing that. But what else can you do? He's not going to give the money back, and none of us would.
No.
Not one of you.
That would be ridiculous.
Would.
No.
Don't lie to me, people. You would not give the money back. So what are you going to do in that situation?
Yeah.
You either act like you do your best. You do your best every day, and you give every single thing you got. Maybe the bat's not there, but I can still field. I can still run the bases. And what is he doing? He's doing all that.
He's hitting well. He's just not the power numbers that we got used to those couple of years where he was hitting the ball out of every ballpark. It's he's still hitting the ball hard, but he's just not hitting it out of the ballpark. But what you were saying, all the other stuff he does well, I have never seen a better base runner. Not the fastest.
Hard to argue. Yeah,
he's one of the best base runners I have ever seen in my life. Yeah. And he still can draw a walk. He'll get on base. He'll score lots of runs. He can still make your team better, just in a different way than he did a couple of years ago. That's all there is to it.
I don't want this, but I could see, depending on how Milwaukee's doing at the trade deadline, if they become sellers, trying to do something with that. It's hard because of the contract, I understand, but nowadays they make these things work. They figure this stuff out. If we can hear conversations about the idea that Matt Scherzer may be traded with that contract, it's hard for me to imagine that you couldn't trade Christian Yelich's.
Yeah. Although Steve Cohen has been out there and saying he'll eat it. You know, he said he'll eat if he thinks it's good for the team, he'll eat a giant portion of a contract if he thinks it's going to make the Mets better. I don't know how the Mets are better without Max Scherzer. That's just a big mess in New York right now. It's going to be we'll get into this, I'm sure, after the All-Star game. The trade deadline is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Who's a buyer? Who's a seller? Who knows? Who knows? I mean, there are teams that are traditionally not sellers, like the Cardinals. The Mets are almost always buyers. Well, the Cardinals are having a terrible year. Are they actually going to be sellers?
Yeah.
Wow, that would be amazing. You know, who knows what's going to happen?
I don't know if that's more amazing or the Cincinnati Reds being buyers.
Dude, I'm so with you on that. I can't remember the last time the Reds were ever buyers at the trading deadline.
It's not the same, of course, because nothing is in baseball, but in sports we compare. Last year Milwaukee's in first in the division. They're going into the that week, looking like, well, hopefully, they're going to be buyers, and they trade Hader. And because the front office did not believe that it was a winning team. They just hands down. They showed you that.
That's
you can't
what they
deny
showed.
Yep. That. You can't. And I don't begrudge them that. They're a small team. They got to do what they got to do. I think Cincinnati is in a very similar boat this year. Of how God, what do we do here? This is baseball. It's always win now. I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. Everybody says this is this goes back to the old Mike Tyson quote. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. then the plan goes out the window.
Right.
We're going to build this team up. We're going to slowly grind, and eventually one day Cincinnati will be contenders. All of a sudden, Cincinnati's got a chance to get into the playoffs, and all that bets are off.
Bets like, are off.
Because anybody can win. It has been proven in baseball. Anybody can win in any year. Mm-hmm. You just get into the playoffs. Just get and into the dance.
That is the big thing now. You never know what's going to happen after that. We've seen it time and time again. The team gets in. The Marlins, you see them get in. The Nationals a couple of years ago, same thing. They got in, and they won it all. And no one picked them. No one picked the Phillies last year to get to the World Series. You never know, man.
I rarely do this at all in anything in life. But with this, I'm a GM, and this is part of the reason why I'm not a GM. I'm a GM, and I am every year, well, we got a chance to win? All chips are in. Mm-hmm. All chips are in. It's baseball. I do the same thing in hockey. Mm-hmm. It's too much of a chance sport.
Yeah.
And you're telling me, like, a team like Cincinnati that hasn't even been the playoffs, let alone win a World Series or anything like that, since you and I were children, basically. Milwaukee never won a World Series.
Nope.
Like, if you've got a chance, take it.
Take it.
Go. Get yourself a CC Sabathia and work that arm 90 innings in 2 days. Whatever you got to do, get that World Series. Yeah. Ask for forgiveness later.
Yeah.
Get it later.
Winning forgives so many things, I'm telling you.
The Bucks hadn't made a big splash this offseason. They got brought back the guys that they wanted, but haven't made a big splash or anything like that. How many people truly, like, they won a title, like, yesterday, it feels like.
Yeah, really.
Like, I mean, just how much do you really worry after you've won? Mm-hmm. It buys so much.
It does.
And the winning doesn't end the next previous year. You still see people buying Milwaukee Bucks, championship shirts and
absolutely
hats and things. I mean,
yep.
People are still walking around buying with brand new Packer gear from the last time they won a World a Super Bowl.
Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, it win. That's it. Nobody is coming to the stadium to see building.
No.
To see a rebuilding. And I understand you can't win every year. I understand small market this, small market that. Yep, I watch the same thing you guys do. I watch the same talking heads you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
I remain at my answer. Win. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll take a quick commercial break. Be right back in about a minute here on Playmakers at WFHR. Thanks, Jennifer. We appreciate that. Seth and James back on Playmakers here at WFHR. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Thank them for joining us. Want to thank the Rafters for joining us, Jake and Joey there. That was a lot of fun. Be sure to catch your Rafters tonight as they pregame kicks off at 5:50. We're hosting Fond du Lac. We're hosting Madison in the next couple of nights. That's going to be fun. Well, actually, afternoon tomorrow, 12:50 pregame for that.
I'm telling you, is there a better thing to do than go to the ballpark on the 4th of July? I ask you.
Yes.
Is there anything better?
424-2600. Answer the question. I call up, enjoy the conversation, everybody. We won't yell at you.
No, we won't. We're not one of those kind of shows.
No, I mean, there's enough of that in sports talk
there
radio.
Is. We don't need that.
No, we do not need to be one of those stir shows. The other thing I wanted to make sure to mention before we wrapped up here, and I got to touch on it a little bit, NBA free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff with going. Interesting by what we kind of thought was going to happen.
Okay.
Basically everybody signing where they did. Bradley Beal goes to Phoenix. That's a little surprising. The Dame Lillard stuff is the big thing. Damian Lillard has made it official that he has asked for a trade request.
Mm-hmm.
And the Miami Heat, Philadelphia 76ers look like they're the leaders in the clubhouse for his services.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, people would say, oh, Damian Lillard, there would be two different sides of this. He should demand a trade. Oh, he should stay there. Oh, Damian Lillard, the loyal athlete, that's great. Damian Lillard, the fool for staying there.
Right.
These two conversations happen every summer this time of year. Now that he has made this official, that he has actually asked for a trade. I'm seeing a lot of people coming out and saying that that loyalty is an issue. How dare he do this? All that kind of stuff. I know that we need. I know that it's a rough time of year. I got to fill content for five different shows.
Sure, so,
I get it. I get it, everybody. Okay, but this low hanging lame fruit of trying to get into another person's mind,
stop that,
and heart, or like you understand what's going on, what him and the, what went on in that conversation with the owners and the GMs and all this stuff and everything. I would respect a lot more. What would you do? Like I don't mind. Hey, I'm putting myself in Dame's shoes. This is what I would do. That kind of thing.
Right.
Sure, I got no problem with that. Got to fill some time. I get that if that's your game. What I find more interesting is the idea of this. And how often we'll see this anymore? Damian Lillard spent 10 plus seasons in Portland. How many times are you going to see this anymore with athletes? That's why that's it stands tough, out to me that he stayed this long there. I don't know how much more we're going to see of that. What Giannis is doing in Milwaukee is already getting close to, like, is he going to, you know, after this max deal and stuff, what's going to happen? They're already, and we just got done talking about this with him. So I'm curious to see where that goes, and I'm curious if fans care. Because fans root for teams so much. I'm not saying they only root for teams, but we see this all the time. We're seeing it right now in real time in Green Bay. The face of that franchise for 12 plus years, longer than 12 years, is gone. But has the fan base changed? Is Green Bay season ticket sales down? I mean, you know, any of this? No,
not at all.
Not at all. In some ways, the mood is up in Green Bay.
Like sigh of relief,
When we see strikes go on, what happens? They these greedy players. How dare these players? Like, people are so quick to turn on players, but they don't turn on franchises very often.
No, they don't.
Here and there. Yeah. So you see it a little bit. I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
It does happen,
So I'm curious how much people care. I'm curious if you care. To me, I like I'm a sucker for the storylines. Like, as soon as you take away my homerism and my teams, it all becomes about storylines. That's all I'm interested
in. There you go.
I want to see, you know, teams that have never won before win.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see players that have never won before in those situations. I like to see legacy storylines. I want to see story. I want to see that kind of thing.
Right.
So I don't have a real, you know, a runner in the race when it comes to this kind of thing.
Exactly.
I'm more curious how you, what other people think about that kind of thing. And if loyalty matters to you in sports anymore.
Well, you know, for it's interesting how loyal, you know, it's kind of, if you see what's playing out in Oakland right now with the A's, you know, loyalty only can only get you so much, apparently, because of all that horrible situation out there. For me, I think the loyalty is still to the franchise, is to the team, if they're still there. You know, so think about this. You know, did anyone who rooted for the Milwaukee Braves become Atlanta Braves fans? I'm guessing very few did.
Very few did. I know a couple, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they might have wanted to continue with, you know, Henry Aaron. Follow him, of course. You know, one of the greatest players ever, you know. Yeah. But you know, that's the kind of thing. I think it has more to do exactly with the community, what it means to the community, and which is why I think the whole sports business aspect is so messed up.
Yeah.
The way we have it right now. And where I think it could definitely use, let's look at this long and hard and see what would be better. Green Bay, we talk about it all the time. Green Bay is a great example where they're married to the city of Green Bay now.
Yeah.
They will never, ever leave.
Yeah, they will fold that franchise before
before they move. Yeah, 100%.
We are talking about the fan influence and their care about this with Tatis and the voting and that.
Yep.
And it comes back into this where it's...
Yep.
You know, I think that people vote for teams even when it comes to personal voting.
I think it does.
About a player or that kind of thing.
I think you're right.
I'm curious to see what happens with Damian Lillard and just the rest of the free agency season. But I got my eyes on baseball. This is baseball time now.
What I'm learning more now about basketball, because I haven't, you know, been paying attention to it that much in the recent years, is how even more than any other sport, as I can tell, money dictates player movement. Yeah, yeah. That's really interesting. I didn't realize that that was such a big thing now. All sports, to some extent, of course, it plays into it. But with basketball, I've never seen anything like this before. That's really interesting.
Fascinating. I'm curious to see next offseason. We talk about free agency, the next baseball free agency. You're always going to have those teams that is like the Steve Cohen guy that's going to spend. I wonder how much that's going to happen anymore. Yep. We've got so much more evidence that does not work.
No.
I'm curious to see if that plays into next year.
The only team so far this year that did that, that's succeeding, is Texas.
Yeah.
All the other ones are floundering, and you've got tiny market teams like Arizona and Tampa that are running away with it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know what that means, but
in Texas, you're right about that. But they're doing it without one of the biggest things that they one of the biggest
without Jacob DeGrom, right?
Yep. It's incredible. It's just incredible.
Incredible.
Great show, thank you, brother.
Hey, no problem.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Be listening every Monday for more Playmakers right here on.